coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast. It was the last official PGA Tour stop of 2021. We've officially entered golf silly season, but nothing silly about this week's winner and his performance. And we preview the Brooks versus Brooksy, aka Bryson, match, and a little Tiger update in case you were living under a rock. Plus, we're tuned into Thanksgiving TV, Thanksgiving content, and Dune as well. This week's guest is Pam Maldonado, talking all things sports betting, life in Austin, golf, and more. Plus, the Patriots are cooking, and we're talking about what we're cooking when we always end with food. All of it brought to you by our new friends, Michael, our new friends at Club Doctor Golf. I'm going to walk you through a scenario because I know you'll appreciate this one, Michael.
Yeah,
okay. You know those infomercials you watch at like 2 a.m. for those magic like saute pans that they say clean like in an unbelievably easy way? You know they just do like one spray, one wipe, and it's just like presto. It's like nothing ever got cooked. You know what I'm talking about?
The potentially too good to be true products.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'd always thought until I found Club Doctor Golf the other day and used it at the range, because this really was the real deal for cleaning my golf clubs. There's a spray and there's a polish that are amazing, squeaky clean solutions. They clip right under your golf bag and make it easy to clean your clubs on the course. The polishing solution restores that original shine. It's just an amazingly quickly way to get the clean clubs that you need. Clean clubs improve your club performance, ball spin, speed, control, and give you just a little bit of a better attitude toward each shot. So bring your clubs back to life and restore your club's original shine with Club Doctor, either the cleaning solution or the polish, both quick, portable solutions you need on the course. Also available at clubdoctorgolf.com. Check them out and use promo code COL for 15% off any purchase. It's holiday shopping week right now. This is a great Black Friday gift for any golfer in your life. So check out clubdoctorgolf.com and use promo code COL for 15% off of your Club Doctor today.
And welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf, Tosi Stacks, and Club Doctor Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, a lot happened on Sunday in the world of golf. But let's start with what probably made everyone lose their shit, and that was Tiger Woods hosting a, let's be honest, rather calm and ginger looking swing video, just showing the and using the same tagline he used a few years ago, but he's working on his recovery and is hoping to be back soon. I don't think he's anywhere near form to go out and play 18 holes looking at that swing. But is he going to win the Masters in April?
Yeah, exactly. Let's overreact and go absolutely nutty after watching this content drop on Sunday morning. I don't know if a 3-second video has rocked me to my core more in my entire life as this one did. Like I said, I used the Club Doctor Golf at the range, Mike. I was literally walking into my favorite course, which you know very well, where I got married, to hit balls like I do on Sunday morning, and the video appeared on my feed. I was like, I had to show it to the employees at the course. I was so excited. I was like, dude, Tiger just posted this. Did you see that? Everyone was loving it. It was a great moment on Sunday as I was heading to the range. That was all the motivation I needed to practice that day. Tiger Woods hitting, a ginger pitching wedge, I would say. Maybe a little gap wedge, maybe a little 3/4 9-iron or something. But that doesn't matter. The bottom line is this guy just like skipped a few steps. I thought maybe we were going to get the, hey, I'm putting video, and then like the, hey, I'm chipping video. He just went right back out to the range and like, yes, obviously the when is Tiger coming back talk is now going to hit a ferocious pace at this point.
Yeah. And even Phil Mickelson responded about him, how he was chilling in Montana and saw this video drop and is now, you know, tells Tiger to bring it because obviously Tiger wants to become the oldest man to win a major after Phil did it. That was this year, surprisingly. I did appreciate that Phil's sister fact checked Bill and told him, you know, there's still a few more years until Tiger's as old as you are.
Yes, that's right. God, don't throw him over 50 just yet, Phil. Jeez, be a little kinder. I think Tiger's got a few more to go before that. But yeah, the video obviously had everyone clamoring, is 2022 the year he's back? And you remember, if you just bring the timeline back a few months, Mike, we were very skeptical that we were going to see anything from him in the next 6 to 12 months, the way he was walking, still needed crutches. And then all of a sudden, in the last several weeks, we saw a video of him without the crutches, walking at his kid's tournament, at an LA hotel, walking without weight on a specific leg. And then boom, here's the range video. So yes, obviously the question is like, what's next? What's the next video? Do we get the blue paragraph update on his Twitter, around the holiday time for some sort of timeline? Who knows? But you just as a human being and a golf fan, just nice to see that drop on Sunday and see him backswinging a club again.
It was indeed. We'll keep an eye on it and see what happens. I'm going to bring us all back down to earth and say he's not playing in 2022. Not going to happen. I'm sorry.
The collective internet just yelled at you right now.
I know.
What are you doing, Mike?
I'm a realist. Rich. What can I say? let's talk about the real PGA Tour golf that happened this weekend, just south of me in Seattle, Georgia, for the RSM Classic, the final tour stop of the 2021 calendar year. And the guys went pretty low, pretty low. And, Taylor Gooch made his way to a victory by bookending his weekend with 64s. So pretty good.
Yeah, that's how you win on the PGA Tour, is you start low and you finish low. And he's been absolutely grinding for the last few years. This is a guy that was fighting through like the Q school circuit in like 2016, 17, made his way through. He's a regular on tour now. Obviously, his name kind of sticks out. It's just easy to get the Gooch yell going on the golf course. You pair Gooch and Cooch together, and then you have quite a fan scenario going on there. But Taylor Gooch getting it done with the debut victory. He was very solid down the stretch, ended with a really gutsy finish on 18. When the putter's rolling and you're shooting low scores, who says you can't go low and win on the PGA Tour? And he got it done for his first title.
That's right. Other names of note, of course, is Sebastian Munoz. So we've been riding that bandwagon for a long time. He started the week with a 60, but just couldn't close it out as the week continued, which is, seems to be typical. You go down to that 60, that 61, 60, 59 numbers even, you don't usually win a tournament because you can't follow it up.
It is. It's very hard to do that. I've been coming closer and closer on our picks, which are at Twitter. I'm at Course of Life 1. You're at MWRINC. I had a couple of Canadians that played well this past week, came up just short with Mackenzie Hughes. He made a valiant effort at the end, but ended up finishing in second place. So unfortunately, we did hit a little bit of a cold streak in the fall with our PGA Tour picks. There's a couple more random events that I'll throw some picks for on Twitter in the coming weeks. But we'll circle back and we'll officially see in Hawaii for more golf picks in January.
That's right. Let's talk about the LPGA Tour, because we have to talk about Jin Young Ko, who hit 63 straight greens in regulation.
Say that again. Say that again.
63 straight greens in regulation.
What?
Just incredible. 23 under par. Final round 63. Won the CME Group Tour Championship. Just incredible. Incredible.
If you're a numbers guy, you like that too. The final round 63 with the 63 greens in a row. I mean, I just got to say that stat one more time. Think about this. A green in regulation, getting on a par 4 and 2, getting on a par 5 and 3, or putting it on the green with your first shot on a par 3. She did that 63 times in a row, Mike. I know when you and I go out there, and we have a hole where we hit a green in regulation, we turn to each other because that is a notable moment in our round. And that is a highlight that needs to be marked down on the scorecard. And it's to be applauded. Jin Young Ko did it 63 times in a row. I'll say this, you may see crazy like launch angles and distance type of numbers on the PGA Tour, but if you want to go for just insanely consistent, incredible stats, you go to look to the LPGA Tour for crazy numbers like this.
And what I think is even more crazy here is that Ko had a wrist injury, so she didn't practice for this event, which maybe is what mentally got her in the right headspace.
Please stop that.
So Ko won.
She's not even getting balls either. That's great.
I know. So she won $1.5 million. She was the Rolex Player of the Year, first Korean player to achieve this feat twice. Her 12th career victory, fifth of the season. I mean, just incredible performance by her.
Dominant. Yeah. Let me highlight one other dominant performance too. Unlikely scenario that Colin Morikawa plays in just a handful of European Tour events, it feels like, and he ends up winning the race to Dubai. But lo and behold, that happened. He had a really impressive win in Dubai, impressive third title for him. But the thing that really came from Dubai, which we need to talk about, it was, there was a photo that emerged of a visibly distressed Rory McIlroy. He had a meltdown where he hit the stick. It went off the stick into the bunker. A series of bogeys had him blow the tournament. And he ripped his shirt to literal shreds, Mike. Have you ever approached any sort of anger like this on the golf course? I don't think I ever have.
I know I personally never have. I don't think I've ever witnessed it either.
It was scary. It was a scary photo. I'll say that. It's like, you know, it was just a still shot and he was on his phone. So I think he'd cooled down, but boy, I need video of that. Like, I need air to breathe of him going absolutely ballistic. You know, I joked on Twitter that I thought he was just a happy dad that's got full perspective on life now, but no, this game can still tear you to shreds. Literally, even if you're Rory McIlroy.
It's just, I mean, he's passionate about the game and it showed. Now you can buy yourself a Nike ripped swoosh t-shirt.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sure that's going to be on sale, right? Just in time for Black Friday and get the Rory rip going. Nice.
I'm sure it's already up.
A couple quick guest updates I wanted to throw to people, golf related, previous interviews that we've had. Mike, I don't know if you've seen this, but our buddy Cyrus Jansen, I need to shout him out. He's officially starting a YouTube video series and he's doing the full Bryson transformation. So he's hired a personal trainer. He's in the gym. He's doing the full Bryson diet and he's leaning in to see exactly what he can get out of his golf game. So I wanted to shout that out because I'm going to be interested to see his progress here in the next few months.
I mean, I think it's going to be really incredible to see what happens, but I have to voice what Rory said this year, which is that maybe going for speed and distance isn't always the best.
Yeah. So we're going to see how Cyrus Jansen weighs that. Check out his YouTube for sure. And then I want to shout out Danielle Garcia, who we had on recently from Wink News in Florida. She did one of those classic early morning news report stories. You know, when the news reporter goes out to the brand new business and they make them like do something embarrassing on camera.
Yep.
So they had Danielle early in the morning swinging on camera at Topgolf. Fortunately, she made contact when she needed to. Not with every single ball. We'll ignore that part of the story. But it was cool to see her getting some swings in at the new Topgolf in Fort Myers, Florida. So a couple of guest updates for you there. Again, check our interview archives and our past episodes if you haven't listened to what's been done already. We've got years of amazing interviews with guests from all over the world of golf and sports. So be sure to check us out.
All right, let's turn our attention to the next tournament coming up. Just because the PGA Tour season is taking a break through the holidays doesn't mean professional golf is taking a break. And like you said, Alex, in the very beginning, things get a little loopy at this point in the season. And that's what's going to happen. We're going to get 12 holes because for some reason we can't do 18 of the match without Phil Mickelson. This one will have Brooks versus Bryson. I'm going to be completely and utterly honest here. I don't care.
You know what? This is an interesting scenario because if you go back 4, 5, 6 months, Brooks versus Brooksy, AKA Brooks versus Bryson, was all the rage, admittedly. It was a storyline that captivated us golf fans. We loved the beef. There was a moment when it was super witty and it was very well played out. But then we got smart. We started to figure out this just doesn't feel right. Something doesn't feel very genuine about what all is going on here. We saw them be buddy-buddy at the Ryder Cup, and lo and behold, they planned this match, you know, months in advance to be airing on TNT. Will I tune in? I'll tune in spots. But yeah, it's 12 holes. I don't know. What, they could only pay them 2/3 of what they wanted for the match? Is that why we settled on 12 holes?
That's the biggest mystery of this whole weekend, is that are they only able to deal with themselves over 12 holes and, you know, are they going to be talking to each other during these 12 holes? What kind of smack talk are we going to get here?
It's going to be on the Vegas Strip, which will be nice. Wynn Golf Club. Yeah. I guess it's maybe a 3-hour TV window or something like that. They're going for 12 holes maybe on Friday afternoon. Yeah. I'll be probably on the course for most of it, to be honest.
I will add one more thing to this match, which is what I've said before about this beef, which is hashtag manufactured.
Yeah, it is. I'll just be a bit of a contrarian, and I'll just bet against Bryson's bombs. He's been really hot on the street recently. But I'll just say that Brooks comes through with a random hot day, and he gets them in a match play format. We'll see what happens. It's 12 holes. I'll throw a pickup this week on Twitter at Course of Life 1 for the match Friday on TNT.
Let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. It's a awfully big week this week. There's Thanksgiving. There's Black Friday. There's my birthday coming up there,
oh, yeah,
too.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday week as well. Yeah, we didn't forget so that.
There's a lot happening this week. But before we get into that week, I watched Dune this weekend. So...
Oh, nice. Yeah. What's the 30-second review for the fans out there?
For 2 hours and 35 minutes, you get to watch expansive shots. Let Denis Villeneuve, I always mispronounce his name, makes you feel very small, and you get half of the story of Dune that ends rather abruptly. However, comma, it's very, very good.
Very, very good. Great, great shots. Okay, that's you, the camera guy. Always looking out for that. I would be left on the edge with that cliffhanger, though, for sure. Okay. Dune, worth checking out indeed. The football plans on Thanksgiving Day, they're synonymous on Thursday. Basically, I've kind of laid out my agenda for how Thursday is going to go down. You'll see all sorts of food content on Instagram at Always End With Food Pod from us. But basically, the TV plans are it's going to be the turkey stock during the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which I'm glad is back in full force. It's good to see. And then I'm going to go maybe appetizers game one for the Lions. And then we'll do dinner during the second, the Cowboys. And then however much dessert we can throw down before it's officially Black Friday shopping time. That's the rough agenda for Thursday. I'll get a little bit more into the menu a little bit later on in this episode. Well,
we'll each share what's going down in our tables when we end with food as always. But first, let's get into this week's guest, Alex. We love featuring women in sports media. They're shaking up the industry, and you're very big into the sports betting scene. It's probably one of our hallmarks, of course, is how we bet every week and rarely win.
But when we do, we're loud about it. We got to be sure to be loud about it. So
we are. And so you got to chat with Pam Maldonado.
Yes.
Who's likely hitting far more bets than you're listening for out there.
Yeah, than everybody, than me, than the listeners. She's definitely worth a follow, whether it's random Tuesday night college football, golf, tennis, anything in between. I love following Pam on social media. She's part of the Yahoo Sports team, also from Austin, Texas, where I am here. And of course, she's a big golfer as well, too. So we get into all that, and it's a fun conversation with Pam Maldonado.
We'll get into that conversation in just a second. But first, as always, this interview is brought to you by Desert Fox Golf, our friends of the show and the makers of the Phone Caddy. Alex, we've been saying it now. It's Black Friday week. We are like a month away from Christmas. It is time to get the Phone Caddies for all of your friends, for all the office Christmas parties, the cookie swap parties, the mailman who's delivering your mail.
Oh, wow.
The UPS guy who's dropping the phone caddies off at your door after you order them. He can take one too. For your sisters and brothers and family members in their stockings. For everyone, it's time to get a phone caddy.
Yeah, I'm going to put together a little Course of Life kind of sponsor gift kit that I'm going to give to a few people in my life. And it's going to include the phone caddy as well. Real confession, though, I have not started on my Christmas shopping yet. I need to get on it right now. And this is the week to do it. Obviously, the phone caddy is going to be part of that.
And the even more reason to get onto it right now is Hanukkah starts on Sunday night. So a little extra incentive. Hello. For everyone out there as well. And we can save you 10% because who wants to pay full price for anything? Save 10% off your phone caddy for everyone in your life and the people you don't know in your life. Use the promo code COURSEOFLIFE at desertfoxgolf.com. 10% off any of their colors of their phone caddy, even their patriotic line. Again, that's promo code COURSEOFLIFE at desertfoxgolf.com. You'll save 10% off all the holiday gifts you need and all you need. Is the Desert Fox phone caddy. So one more time, that's the promo code Course of Life to save 10% at desertfoxgolf.com.
Next up on the tee from right here in Austin, Texas, we have a UT Longhorn. You could usually find her betting on games or golfing, a couple things near and dear to my heart. She's currently a sports betting analyst for Yahoo Sports as well. It's Pam Maldonado joining us on The Course of Life. How are you doing tonight, Pam?
Well, I'm in Austin and the weather has been dreary all day. Rain, cold, sideways rain, up and down rain. So when you're used to 80, 90, 100 degree weather, this is a huge change. And yeah, right. the heaters went up today.
Yeah, I grew up in the Northeast near Boston, but unfortunately I've been in Texas now for over a decade. So my blood has gotten so thin. I'm such a weakling whenever it gets below like 60 or 70 degrees. And that's exactly what we've hit now in November. Yeah, it's heater season already, but we'll make it through. There's fortunately some warmer winter days ahead, I'm sure. We get a lot to get to. There's a lot of stuff that we definitely have in common. Obviously, us being in Austin, let's talk about Austin and your time at UT. I mentioned you're a Longhorn, and when you went, I noticed when you went to school, conflicted with an unbelievably historic moment for the city of Austin and the UT football program. Tell me about your time at UT, and specifically anything. I'm sure you got some fond memories of that historic 2005 season as well, right?
Absolutely. I was there during the Vince Young years, and I was actually there at the championship game. So it was at the Rose Bowl. Is one of the most memorable experiences that you can have ever. Just being in that type of atmosphere is just electrifying, and it's something that stays with you. And I would probably say that's why I'm so obsessed with football, especially college, and not really so much that it was stemmed from that moment, but it was just, it kind of just reminds you of like, this is why you love it, to have that feeling every Saturday. It's just something that you want to have, you want to experience. So I was there during the Vince Young years. It was great. Got to celebrate. It was awesome. I mean, what can you say about that? That hasn't already been said every year on its anniversary.
Yeah, seriously. No, I just saw a recent 05 documentary that came out too that I was rewatching for maybe the fourth time, which is fun to recount. I'm sure you remember that euphoric moment, like fourth down, Vince Young running to the corner of the end zone. You must remember that like yesterday, right?
Yeah. And like, you can see it all over social every year. They repost it. It's always on an ESPN highlight of the top 10 moments, top five moments, best quarterback plays of all time. Like, you see it throughout the year, every year. So you never get to forget it. And it was just awesome. But I was also there during Kevin Durant's year. So I got to watch a couple of games from there, but I'm less of a basketball fan, definitely more college. But I loved Texas. I can appreciate what the university gave me, but where I am now is definitely through my years of poker, through my years of living in Vegas. And I wish I took advantage of the opportunities that were given to you when you're in college, but you hear this from everybody. I wish I did this differently. I wish I did that differently. But then you go through life and then you wonder, then you look back and say, well, I'm actually grateful that I went through everything, because that has led me to where I am now. And I'm very thankful to be in the sports betting industry, a booming industry, and it's still ever growing.
It is. Yeah, for sure. I love the sports background. That's very cool to hear your perspective from 05 to today. I mean, I got to Austin about 11 years ago. Unfortunately, I'm going to let you know, I think I'm a little bit of a Longhorn jinx, because I moved here about months after the national championship game against Alabama, when the program was riding high, but we're trying to restore that glory of 10, 15 years ago. This season had its moments, but it's definitely not going to be a championship year like Austin would love to see. I'm curious what your general feelings are just on the UT program, you know, Sark's first year, and maybe like where the issue lies. Well, what's the key to get Texas back to some more form?
Oh man, where do you start?
Right, I know.
It is coaching or whether it is play calling, something's not right, because you have back to back to back games where Texas had the lead against Oklahoma, had double digit lead against Oklahoma, lost outright. Had double digit lead against Oklahoma State, lost outright. Double digit lead against Baylor, lost outright. Like, that's three in a row. What is happening? There has to be a coaching situation. They're letting their foot off the gas in the fourth quarter, the most important quarter. And you know, Bijan Robinson is doing what he can. Casey Thompson is doing what he can. But at some point, it has to be on the coach's fault, where you're letting up these double digit leads. you have to get even more aggressive. You can't let your foot off the gas, and you have to put yourself in a position to win the game and not be one of those coaches that sits back and tries to not lose. That's where the difference lies, and not just in college football, but you see that in the NFL. And I think that's where, but we've seen a great start. Even though we're, what are we right now? We're sitting at 4-4. It's not a great season, but there's sparks of greatness, and that's what you can hope for from a first year head coach. So I'm looking forward to having another year under his belt, see what he can develop this team into, see what these players can bring some of that greatness into next year. And maybe next year is the year that we can contend. But then yeah, I say that every year. So
I like the idea of Casey Thompson and Bijan being back next season. So there's definitely some optimism there. So you mentioned your time at UC, but also the opportunities that you got to have out in Vegas for your career specifically. So after school, you moved out to Vegas and did a lot of different poker content. Now that poker boom was hitting right at that moment as well too. Sports betting, the scene was getting more and more enormous by the year to where it is now. I'm curious, when were you kind of first engulfed in the sports betting scene? Did you get involved in a lot before your time in Vegas, or did that really kind of take to the next level for you?
It happened definitely more so when I was in Vegas. When I was here, first off, I graduated from Texas in 2007, and I didn't actually move out into Vegas until 2012. Mm-hmm. It would be 2012. So I was doing some things in between then, different jobs. I worked at Valero actually, and it was one of the people who was laid off during 2008. And I was, you know, first one in, first one out, last one in, first one out type of situation. So I've had different opportunities in between that time. And my guy is a professional, well, at the time was a professional poker player. And in 2011, when poker became illegal to play online, he said, well, let's go to Vegas. And I was like, absolutely. At the time, yeah, I was working at the University of Texas at San Antonio. I was an academic advisor. I was telling people in the School of Business, telling people the classes they should take. And well, you know what? This isn't cutting it for you. You should consider something else. And I was being the type of advisor that I didn't have myself when I was in college. And so I'm grateful for that experience. But when I was out in Vegas, I had no job. I went over there with no job. I said, well, you're in poker. I would want to talk about poker. Let me reach out to some of the poker media. And it was perfect timing. I reached out to pokernews.com, which was, still is the biggest news source for poker. And they said, sure, come work with us. And I started out as an intern, you know, post-college, starting out as an intern, but you can't complain. And that only lasted a few months before I started up as a full-time. And I was doing interviews, and I'm part of social media and marketing team and branding. And I kind of had a jack of all trades. And it was such a great experience to have. But my life was so consumed with poker. I woke up, talked poker. In between, I'm playing poker. At night, I'm playing poker again, working poker. I'm always around poker because my guy was a professional poker player. Poker was my job. I was also a poker player on the side, just to fill up some time. So I thought, what can I do to escape poker? It is all I have. All my friends, they're in poker. And so I would go to the sportsbook because it's right there.
It is pretty close. Yeah, obviously Vegas relative too. I'm curious about the World Series of Poker for people who don't know much about Hold'em or poker in general, who don't even know the difference between the turn and the river, but they just know they see a lot of guys sitting around with cards for a long time. The World Series of Poker was still $10,000 entry fee, and there's now thousands and thousands of players that are in the event. Explain like the grind of a wide scale worldwide poker event like that, and actually what it takes to get from the start to the finish.
Well, the tournament that people are going to be most familiar with is the World Series of Poker. However, what you may be unaware of is that it's not just one poker tournament. You see the main event that's played on ESPN. Right. Well, there's actually 100 events played through the course of 3 months, and they keep adding tournaments every year. So it gets longer and longer. When I first started there, 2012, there was probably only about 35, 40 events. And now in 2021, there's 80, 90. So they've near doubled, if not doubled, the amount of tournaments that are played. So you have the main event and then all of these other tournaments on the side. So the main event itself is $10,000 buy-in, but you have an $800 buy-in, a $1,000 buy-in, a $50,000 buy-in. Those are definitely for the professionals. It is a grind. It's definitely one of the most rewarding experiences, though, having gone through it from the media perspective, because I got to speak firsthand with the players who devote their lives to crafting their skill of this game. It's not gambling, just like sports betting. It's not gambling when you go in with a prepared mind. So you have a coach, you have algorithms that help you decide how to play each hand if you were to get this, or to play certain spots, or to play certain players. So to be able to talk to players about that type of experience from a media perspective, it was very rewarding. And then you kind of grow a relationship with these players to see them succeed from, oh, they started in $1,000 buy-in events and now they're playing $50,000 events because they've improved on their skill set. That was also really rewarding to see from the media perspective, but it is a grind from the player side, from the media side, because you're talking about 12, 15 hour days of using your brain. Your brain is a muscle and it does wear out. So you have to go in with a healthy diet. You have to go in, you know, as limber and as you can be, because you're sitting down for 12 hours a day. So you're stretching on the side, and it's for anyone who's never played a poker tournament, just try one, a little $20 buy-in at your local poker room, $50 buy-in, $100 buy-in. It's tough. It's very taxing on the body. It's taxing on the mind. And poker players don't get the credit that they deserve for enduring that type of mental mindset.
Yeah, it's a marathon for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. That was really cool perspective on the event and what it takes to get from the beginning to the end. So you, like you mentioned, the poker content rolled into all the sports betting content that you've gotten into for years and years since to where we are now. I'm curious, you got yourself back to Texas now and you're doing lots of content now for Yahoo Sports. At what point have you had golf in your life? Is this something you've done when you were younger, or that just come into your life in more recent years?
I have. I've been playing golf since I was 7 years old. My parents, instead of sending me to a daycare center, they would send me to the local golf course and said, nice. You know, same I trust, I would rather you go and learn something new instead of just go sit down and watch TV all day or whatever it is that they do at daycare centers. I'm unfamiliar. So not saying that they do that. I have no idea what they do. That's what my parents wanted for me, was just to give me a new skill set. And so my mother, she worked for the district attorney in my hometown, and his son, he was older than me, but his son had already been playing golf for a couple of years. So she told him, you know, I'm going to be sending my daughter to the summer camp. And he's like, wonderful, I can give her a golf set. And it was a hand-me-down. It was his son's first set. He had already got him a second set, and it was the clubs that, so there were male clubs, and I was using it as, you know, a young 7-8 year old girl. And it was just something that you don't appreciate when you're that young, but once you start playing it and you start learning it and you, oh, now I have a coach. Oh, I can see the ball go straight. Oh, I just made a birdie. Like, it's just like anything else. Once you start seeing the improvements, you start to fall in love with the game a little bit more. You get a little bit older. Now the appreciation is starting to come. You're putting in the effort. You're now practicing. You're now devoting your time into developing your skills like anything else, whether it's poker, whether it's golf, whether it's sports betting. We all start from somewhere, and you have the ability to elevate where you're at with it. And that's what I did. It became an obsession. And kind of with poker, how I was eating, breathing, sleeping poker, that's kind of what I was doing with golf. I would go during like my lunch, I was on a campus in high school where we could drive off campus to go to lunch. I would go during my lunch break and go to the driving range. I ended up getting a summer job or an after school job at the golf course. And I was that person that's in the cart that people are trying to hit, picking up balls.
Of course, yes.
And before I moved everyone's favorite target, before I moved into the clubhouse. And then I had a coach and I would be with him every week. And then all of a sudden, like, hey, I really, really love this game. I appreciate this game. And it's something that's going to be with me for life. I'm fortunate to know that I'm also a bodybuilder. So I'm making sure that whatever I'm doing in my off time with bodybuilding doesn't manipulate what I can't do with golf, because that's my first love.
Let's talk about fitness and golf. Like you mentioned, I see that you mentioned you enter lots of different fitness competitions. I'm curious if there is a translation there where you notice to help your golf game at all. Do you see the difference at all when you're training to a certain degree? Or
I would say, if anything, and this is goes for everything that I do, whether it's sports betting, whether it's even changing a tire, whether it's going shopping for like Christmas holidays, like if anything, if I'm successful at anything, I 100% devote it, credit poker into making me that success. If you want to have a strong mental mindset, if you want to have the backbone to go through anything, go sit down at a poker table and know what it's like to lose $1,000 in a split second. You will mentally just break down for days at first, like, holy heck, I just lost X amount of dollars. How do I get that back? Prior to playing poker, I was so nervous playing golf. I would say one of the reasons why I perhaps didn't excel at golf the way I do now, it's not perhaps, I know for a fact this is what it is, I lacked the confidence. I would be one of those people who tees off on the first drive. Everyone's watching. I clam up. All of a sudden, I shank it. And then as soon as the crowd disappears, I'm right back at it. I'm birding. I'm hitting dead straight, dead long. And it was because I didn't know how to handle the pressure of playing in front of a crowd. When I got into poker, all of a sudden, you have 8 other people on the table watching every move that you make. Because now you have thousands of dollars in front of you. You know what it's like to lose it. You know what it's like to win it. And so having the mental capacity to be able to handle both sides of it made me mentally stronger. And it made me capable. It made me confident in knowing that I can handle whatever swing comes my way, whether it's positive or negative. After playing poker, I get on the golf course. Now I invite people to watch me. Watch me hit this first tee shot dead straight. I will outdrive you.
Keep your phones out.
Absolutely. Like, it just gave me the confidence that I never had back in the day. I wish it was not saying go play poker when you're 16 before your next basketball game, before your next football game. But it's just, that's definitely an aspect of my life that contributed to me having the confidence that I have now. Is knowing how to play on a poker table has translated to knowing how to play a lot of other things.
Love that. Let's do some golf rapid fire. I'm curious, any aces, any hole in ones for you in your life?
I've never had a hole in one. Can you believe that?
Yeah, man. Never have. Never, never. I'm still searching. What's your lowest 18 hole score?
Oh, 60. It was in the 60s. I want to say it was 64 because I've had a couple. It was 64. It was at the South Padre Island Golf Course.
Okay, that's super low. Love that. It was indeed.
It was once in a lifetime. It will never happen again. I hit a 60. It was a 64 and then a 68 at 2 separate golf courses. And then I haven't shot like in the 60s like since. It was just like where those opportunities where everything just clicks. It makes sense. You're in rhythm. It was awesome. And I've never been able to replicate. However, now I also don't practice. Like right now, because I'm in sports betting, I probably only play golf. Let's say during the football season, I don't play golf at all. One, it's winter. It's cold. I don't want to be outside in the cold. And then during the spring, during the summer, that's when I'm going out into the course. I want to sweat. I love the sun. I love the blue skies. That's a huge reason also why I enjoy playing, is because you get to enjoy like the outdoors. And during the winter, it's okay to be inside and watch some football, but as soon as it warms up a bit, I am out there.
Yeah, it's tricky. I have a membership where I can play a few different courses, but I got to play one round a month. And when it comes to football season, it gets real tough to squeeze that round in. You know how busy Saturdays and Sundays get. So I hear you on that, but I've been enjoying the grind recently. So I've been trying to get to the range as much as I can. Again, we're joined by Pam Maldonado, FootballFit35 on Instagram. I love all the different content you post in your profile. while. Where I actually found you was recently, some really cool betting content that you do. I want you to talk a little bit about Stack the Stats with Kelly in Vegas, who I love, mm-hmm. who we see a lot on Barstool Sports content these days. Tell me how Stack the Stats came together and what people can expect when they tune in.
Stack of Stats is really just my personal podcast. I don't have sponsors. I don't have a producer. It's really just, I know that I work for Yahoo and a lot of what I do goes to them, whether it's mm-hmm. an article, whether it's a video, a preview, a lot of my devotion goes towards that first and foremost, of course. However, when there's opportunities, there's times where I want to talk a little bit more about something and I didn't get the time to fit it into an article, or an article wasn't necessary. A video wasn't necessary. So I just use it as a supplement of, this is some extra stuff that I want to talk about. And so here's my podcast. And I call it Stack of Stats because I'm a stats-based bettor. I purely go off of numbers. Of course, I know the game. I watch the game. But I use data to help me figure out which lines I should be looking at. And then from there, do a deep dive. So I call it Stack of Stats because I'm using analytics to help me guide the bets that I'm making. Kelly Love in it. Vegas, she's been... definitely one of the most influential people, not just women. I won't specify it to just women because there's a lot of us in the industry, but she's definitely one of the original people in the sports betting industry as a whole. I don't follow many people when it comes to sports betting because I trust my own process, but she's definitely one of the ones that when I heard her talking, I wanted to hear what she had to say. And so I was living in Vegas. She was living in Vegas. And I actually never had met her, but we've communicated for a few years through Twitter. And she connected me with a couple of people. And so now we're in like the same kind of inner circles when it comes to the industry. And she's just been a very positive person to have. I love the way how I do football and how she does football, entirely different. And that's what I love about having her. Is because like I hear a side that I would not have thought of. And I'd like to think that I can do the same for her, that I bring an angle of a game that she never thought of. I see her when we're doing a podcast, she's over here jotting some notes. And as she's talking, I'm over here jotting some notes because we're both feeding off of what we have to say. And from that, it was just preseason. There's a few contests out there. I'm in a few contests myself and I have a partner for every single one. And when it comes to NFL, that's not my strength. My strength isn't college football, but I know that she does excel at NFL. So I thought, who better to pair up with than her? Because that would give me an opportunity to learn. And then at the same time, like have fun with it because like, hey, we're two chicks who know our shit. Like, yeah, I'll be real. Like I'm confident in what I do. I'm confident in what she does. So let's put our minds together and see what we can come up with. And it's been going pretty well so far. It's fun. It's fun to talk football. I never get tired of it.
Yeah, that's a great pairing with the two of you doing content together. And it's a good yin and yang. You're right. So I appreciate the way you balance each other's opinions and analytics and all that. Let's get into some quick rapid fire either ors of betting on sports. Let's do one of my personal favorite. Since you know college football and I follow you on Twitter, I know how well you know it. Either or, rather bet the Maction or the Fun Belt.
Maction! Give me the Mac all day. I love the Mac. It's one of the, when I started getting into betting, I actually went straight towards the Mac because it was, you want to look, if you're trying to make money, you want to look at the conferences that nobody is paying attention to. And the Mac back in the day definitely was one of them.
Yes,
now,
definitely.
Now it's become popular. Now people think it's like a trend. It's the cool hip thing to do. I was one of the few, if not the only one, who is talking about it, tweeting about it. I recognize the players. There's a lot of great players who come out of the Mac that nobody gives credit to. And it's just, man, it's fun. I love the Mac.
Love it. Awesome. Next, either or. Really not either or, just a number. Tell me what your least favorite line number to bet is on a point spread. I personally can't stand -7.5. It just bugs me to no end. But I'm curious if there's just a weird random number or spread that you tend to stay away from.
Three in college football, three in NFL. To me, it's the book saying we don't know. And so I don't know either.
That's a good one. I like that. Let's talk betting golf for a quick second. On my Twitter, the one thing I will tout is I'm pretty good at picking outright winners on the PGA Tour. Myself and my co-host have gotten about five or six in 2021 so far. Nice. We love picking them on Wednesday. Do you like putting golf bets in earlier in the week? Do you like doing later in the week? Head-to-head matchups? What's your preference?
I love head-to-head, and it doesn't matter what day as long as it's before the tournament.
Yeah, that's right. Amen to that. And then I noticed you love tennis as well. Big Joker fan. I'm curious, for someone who hasn't bet much tennis, well, what's your favorite way to bet tennis? Do you like just kind of betting outright like you do in golf, or do you pick matches or sets, or how does it work for you?
Well, a few years ago, you could bet Novak Djokovic or Rafael Nadal to win every tournament and you would hit. It was a guarantee that Novak Djokovic was taking every single tournament down. But now that he's been world number one for a while, he's no longer trying to hold on to that title. And since the whole COVID situation, it's really changed the dynamics. It's really changed the outlook of it's really changed just tennis as a whole. No sport has been more dramatically affected by the COVID pandemic than tennis has. And people just, I think they're quick to assume that, oh, tennis is back. It's just like everything else. There's no other sport that travels as much as tennis. ATP circuit, the WTA circuit, they go around the world every single week. No other sport can say that. Mm. And because of it, it's really changed the betting landscape. And so it's making difficult. It's really making betting outrights difficult. So I've definitely, I've always done just individual matches, but now more so, I definitely focus on matches rather than outrights for the futures market.
Love it. Cool. Good answers from Pam Maldonado there. Let's finish with a couple of food related questions. We always end every episode with food, but I got to end this episode with food because I know you love the food content as well too. And I need to segue to the pancake bets. Okay. Explain to everyone not only how much you love pancakes, but what the pancake bets are and how those got going.
I love pancakes. Yes, it's true. I do. I love me a stack. I eat pancakes every single night. And I am not exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating that. I would say for about 2 years, there's two things part of my diet that I have not changed in 2 years. And that is rice cakes and a protein shake mid-morning and pancakes every single night. I've done this every single day since I started bodybuilding, and that was back in 2019. But it's not buttermilk pancakes drenched in butter, drenched in maple syrup. Those are the good pancakes. These are good too. But, there's a company out there called Pancakes Pancakes. Jeez, I will forever hate myself for not thinking of it.
But, I mean, the sponsorship is just sitting right there.
I know.
I'm going to send them a message just on your behalf, just so I can make a connection at least.
But there's a woman, she's a bodybuilder herself, and her name is Pamela, go figure. She created these protein pancakes and says, you know, we're bodybuilders, but it doesn't mean that we have to eat broccoli and chicken. So she created this recipe to create pancakes, and it's different varieties. She has double chocolate. There's pumpkin spice, of course. There's confetti. And so she created this brand, Pancakes Pancakes, made by bodybuilders for bodybuilders. So that way we can eat when we're dieting down for competitions. We're still able to eat some of the foods that we enjoy and love. And so she's done a great job marketing the brand. It's a fantastic product. I can't recommend it enough. And it's high in protein, low in carbs, and lower in fat. So you're able to still eat on a lower calories, enjoy the food. It's fantastic. And I call things pancake bets because while everybody is making pizza bets, that just means, you know, I'm risking a small amount of money to kind of win a long shot.
Right.
That's my pancake bet.
Love it.
My fun bet.
I've seen a big hit before too. So be sure to follow Pam on Twitter, Instagram as well. We love ending though with our 19th hole question. So I know you're a big pancake fan. I'm curious to see what this answer is though. I ask it to almost all of our golfing guests. Let's say you go into your favorite clubhouse and it's the 19th hole and you got some time to sit down, relax. What's your go-to choice for a meal and drink after you play 18 holes?
Burger, fries, shake.
Nice. Tried and true. What kind of shake are we talking? Chocolate, vanilla, strawberry?
Only strawberry. That is, it depends also. Hold on. I'm going to do a little asterisk. If it's like dead hot in the summer of Vegas at like 2 p.m. in July, strawberry shake. But if it's like early round, you're kicking it with your friends, then What are they called? Bahama Mamas.
Oh, there you go. That's a nice choice. Love the variety there. That's awesome. Hey, Pam, thank you so much for hopping on the Course of Life. Appreciate all the content you're putting out. I'll be tailing some of these picks for sure. So everyone be sure to follow her if you want to win some money. And then obviously see you on the course soon too.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
And we're back. Great chat there with Pam. Pancake bets.
Yes. I love that. That's catchy. Like it. Right? Yeah. What's your favorite pancake anyway?
I mean, I'm pretty tried and true classic. It just needs to be served with real New Hampshire maple syrup.
I love how you said New Hampshire maple syrup too. There are so the Vermonters are steaming right now at that comment.
I am willing to have Vermont if New Hampshire is not available, but don't you give me any of that Canadian crap. All right.
I mean, Pam is really about the pancakes. I doubled down on that question. She really does eat pancakes like almost every day of the week, which is pretty alarming. They're really healthy ones, obviously, because of how fit she is. But nonetheless, I love the pancake bet. She's a great follow on Twitter. Be sure to check her out on social media if you're needing a little help with your bets this football season as well. She's been posting some winners recently. So great having Pam, and we'll look forward to connect with her again.
Let's talk college football real quick. It's almost time to start talking about bowl games.
Yes, almost it is. Time. I think we're going to get the final playoff picture sometime next week. I love that Cincinnati like has played absolutely no one, and they're in the top four just because everyone else has lost games. There's a lot of really unsure stuff. Oregon is out officially after their loss. There'll be some upset college football fans in the next couple weeks, just like there are every single year. Like I said, hopefully we get some fresh blood in there. But my real football update, which I need to get to, is the New England Patriots are absolutely red hot, 5 in a row, on fire. And for the first time in years, I'm like, oh, it's been too long since I've last said this, but the Patriots are now back on top of the AFC East. I'm glad I could get that off my back. It's been too long years since I've been able to say that.
Yeah. Congratulations. I don't know what that feeling is like anymore to be atop your division.
Yes.
And with that said, I hope you enjoyed this final time we're ever going to talk about the NFL.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't know if we're going to be able to keep the New York Football Giants segment going. I like to try and give you 15 seconds on here, but we're in a temporary cancel unless something crazy happens, like they pick up Tim Tebow off the street and he starts winning games for them. That's really the only scenario I could see us talking about the Giants again. So with that,
we're recording this on a Monday morning. They're playing the Buccaneers on a Monday night. So, you know, I don't think it's going to go well, but maybe it will. We'll see.
With that, if I'm surprised, then I'm pleasantly surprised and we'll reintroduce them to the pod. But for now, let's hashtag always end with food, brought to you by our friends at Toasty Snacks, makers of the Toasty Bites, the Toasty Pops, the Toasty Super Bites. We love them all. Promo code COL20 gets you 20% off a good, nutritious, healthy snack on the go. Toasty.com/COL. Obviously, it's Thanksgiving week. I'll let you take the floor, though, because I want you to first correct me and say, no. It's my birthday week. Thanksgiving also happens to fall on this week. And then let me know what you're getting into.
So I actually just made the cranberry chutney for the turkey this morning. I'm making biscuits this afternoon. That'll just go straight into the freezer and be ready to go as well. I'm doing a apple cider brined turkey with a maple butter glaze.
Ooh, man, the fall flavors are just resonating right there.
And it's going to be spatchcocked and grilled. So that's all happening.
You've been teasing this format and I've seen this on the internet, but I haven't had the strength, spirit, or bravery to spatchcock a turkey. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this goes for you.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting experiment. The biggest question is how I'm going to fit what container the turkey is going to go into, and then how it's going to fit into my horrendously arranged fridge.
Yes, you've definitely widened the turkey. That's for sure. So you've got some new dimensions to take on.
You can still wrap it back up. You know, just because you take out the backbone and you flatten it doesn't mean I can't curl it back up in itself. It's just going to be a hassle in my refrigerator. So we're going to figure that out, too.
Okay, I look forward to that. We'll document that this week. Again, it's at Always End with Food Pod. If you want to check out our food content and our monthly food podcast, which will be dropping Thanksgiving week as well. My meal is going to be Cajun turkey, mac and cheese, stuffing, baked potatoes in the air fryer. I'm doing this year to mix up the potato side. Already bought a couple pies. You're the baker. I'm not in that one, but I'll be documenting it all for sure. I think I might do something live this week on Instagram. So be tuned into COL Podcast, Course of Life, Alex, MWRINC, Always In with Food Pod. You can check out all those on Instagram. Gonna do a little Black Friday shopping for our followers out there who need some gift ideas. Maybe we pop on for Thanksgiving and show you what the turkey's looking like. But it'll be a fun holiday week nonetheless for everyone out there.
It will indeed.
Let's put a wrap on that. Thanksgiving week, Course of Life. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you all next week.